afternoon. Today is Wednesday, December the 18th, 343rd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Humboldt County Supervisor. And is that, do they call that a boa or carpet scrap?
I call it warm.
Okay,
and
Virginia Bass.
It's a scarf.
Is it a scarfish?
It's a scarfish thing. Or you can use it as a
Nanook of the North. Good, good.
That's how I can be in crowds unnoticed if I put this over my head, don't you think?
Oh, sure. Yeah, you can blend in with the crowd. You betcha. This afternoon, we're talking about some of the developments with the homeless strategy. Virginia and a couple of others have been meeting with folks on a weekly basis for the last few months or so. So we'll talk a bit about that. We've also got kind of the catch-up, year in review, all that kind of good stuff, and what the holidays are. At least in
holidays?
That part of town. Yes.
I'm glad you told me.
The fourth,
I need to start shopping.
The 4th District. Really? You like me?
Yes.
Ah, okay. Yet another frightening disclosure heard right here. We'll get more when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Virginia Bass. But before we do, our quote this afternoon. Well, you going to read along with me?
If I could only see that far with these glasses. I need new glasses.
Yeah, so do I. Don't know if it's the rapid onset of aging or if I didn't pay attention during the last test. But these things are like about 12 months old. And I,
yeah. So I'm looking like I'm attentive to what you're doing.
But you really don't care.
Well, I can't really see.
Okay. Good. All right. John
Stein. You can say anything you want. I wouldn't know you weren't.
I could, huh? Oh, okay. Here we go. Blaise Pascal. Quote, "I've discovered that all human evil comes from this. Man's being unable to sit still and quiet in a room alone." Not that that's something we're going to try to emulate here.
No, that's kind of frightening, actually, when I think of most of them folks I know. It's like,
sit still.
We're all busy
reflect.
People. That gets us in trouble. I thought we were supposed to make us more.
Well, if you know what you're doing instead of acting out rashly. You like that
point
one?
Taken. Yeah. That
okay.
Was good.
Okay. So what's going on with your Thursday morning meetings?
Our Thursday morning meetings. We're actually taking 2 weeks off, but Rex and I started doing a Thursday morning meeting every Thursday at 8 o'clock. As various people in the community, a few service providers, police, mental health, health and human services, business people, Charlotte from Main Street, Brian from Rescue Mission. You know, the point is just to get a bunch of people in the room, and what Rex and I are, you know, it's not like we're going to solve the issue, but we're trying to help lessen the impact on, you know, the business district. You know, we're specifically thinking of Eureka in our case because that's our, you know, the majority of our district. But at the same time, recognizing there are people who seriously need help. And what we've been looking for are some quick wins and something that we're not doing that we could do, emulate other communities who are having some success.
Now, I shared with a couple, and I think it was after, we haven't seen each other since Thanksgiving, right?
I don't think so.
Okay. We were down.
When you walk down the road.
Well, yeah.
Walk on the way back.
Yeah. spent some time in Napa an afternoon and was asking a couple of the folks down there, what do they do? They said, nothing really particularly sophisticated. If somebody shows up and they don't look like they know what they're doing or they're not doing something, people ask them if they can help them.
Yep.
And if they just say, no, I'm just kind of looking around, say, okay, how can I help you? And if not, how can I help you get to where you're going? Because just hanging around isn't something that we allow in Napa. Boom, done. And they're literally, we were there, well, one evening and then the following afternoon. And there was a cardboard sign at where you come off 37 at Vallejo and go up 29. And that was it until we hit Highway 101. Then we went up through St. Helena and that route. Literally, there was nobody, period, through the rich neighborhoods, the not-so-rich neighborhoods, the agrarian areas, the downtown areas. Did not exist.
Well, I think that's part of some of the communities who have a successful strategy. You know, what they do. One of the things we're really focusing on is, you know, educating the community on how to make this better. If, you know, if someone's out there holding out a sign, the best thing to do, you know, it isn't to give them money. And that's what they do. A lot of the folks who are out there with the signs aren't even homeless. So, unfortunately, you've got people that are out there being, you know, maybe you want to call them vagrants, professional...
Parasitic.
There's another word, and let me write. I'll add that to our vocabulary. Yeah. But
that's one that some of the...
But people think they're doing the right thing, and they're not. So, you know, part of what we're focusing on is an educational campaign. Reading apparently has a voucher system where instead of giving money, people have been pretty fairly educated on offering assistance, or this is how you get help, or how can I help you, similar to Napa.
What percentage, Virginia, I know DHHS is involved. What percentage of the folks that are under this umbrella, I guess, however you want to define it, are those in need of mental services? And if they were on their meds, got their meds, they would not be in that situation.
I don't have a percentage. I would say it's huge. Chief Andy Mills has been joining our group since he's gotten here, and he's been a wealth of information. And he's actually doing research right now to try to help pinpoint who falls in what category. And Health and Human Services.
The county doesn't have that?
Well, we have some of it. The information, a lot of the information that you have, though, is privileged through HIPAA. So you can't share.
Well, not individuals, but you can share the totals.
Well, you can share totals, and you can
X
share.
Percent.
Yeah, well, and that's what they're all putting together. We've got information that we're sharing with, say, EPD, but EPD can talk to people that we're not able to reach because they're not, you know, they're under the radar. And you know, he's really hopeful that he's going to get some good numbers along with Health and Human Services, and we can, you know, kind of attack this together. But I do, before, you know, I know you're going to start counting down here.
No, I'm not, because we're there. KINS, News and Information Times 319. We'll be back with more from Virginia Bass.
Now I'm going to Sunshine for Humboldt. The North Coast Repertory Theater is now celebrating its 30th season with 6 treats for Humboldt audiences. First is the George S. Kaufman Moss Hart Pulitzer Prize-winning comedy, You Can't Take It With You. Then the musical, You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, based on the Peanuts comic strip. After the holidays, there'll be a double feature straight from ancient Greece, the murderous tragedy Oedipus the King and the comedy Women in Congress. Next is the side-splitting Complete Works of William Shakespeare, a parody in which all 17 of the Bard's plays are played in 97 minutes. Late Spring features the North Coast premiere of the popular Les Miserables. The season ends with The Poor of New York, a melodrama from 1857 of the problems of a middle-class family not all that different from today's. For dates, times, and details, call 442-6278. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic organization dedicated to the people and events that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Virginia Bass. Virginia, before the break, we were talking a little bit about some of the subcomponents of the homeless community, lifestyle. I'm not sure really what
mentally
to use anymore.
Ill.
And the mentally ill element of it.
Right.
I would think that that's got to be the lowest hanging fruit that there is. Okay, now whether or not that means somebody needs a guardianship and maybe a restructuring of some of the funds in DHHS to develop more guardianship and monitoring, okay, that might be a little bit more complicated. But you got that group, you got the lifestyle group, and then you got those that are down on their luck, needing help,
right,
want a hand up, that kind of stuff. So you mentioned DHHS was in there along with EPD, and I would imagine the Sheriff's Department.
Yes, definitely.
Put everything together. I'm surprised that those numbers aren't known, even just a rough guesstimate.
They're actually, point in time count is being, will be presented in January.
A what?
That's, well, the point in time count is actually a count that's done every 2 years, not just in Humboldt County. I mean, it's done all over. It's basically as a result of, I think for HUD funding, you have to do the certain count. It's one night. I'm surprised
it's
you
like
haven't gone on that.
It's like a census.
It's a census.
Okay.
But it's based one night, like every 2 years.
It's like a bird count.
Well, it is, and it's, you know, it is. Oh, that's, well, you know, but, and you try to go to places where you know the folks are. It's not going to be 100% accurate, but it does give, you know, a range, and it does ask, you know, people certain questions. But because it's through HUD, they're asking for the questions they want the answers to, which is very different than what the questions our community may need the answers to. And that's one of the things that the, you know, police chief and others are focusing on now is how do we get the answers that are, you know, pertain most to the folks who are on our streets and how we can help them.
HUD is short for...
Housing and Urban Development.
So that's a federal entity.
Federal. And this is, there's a
does
lot of...
Does the county help out at all in doing
Well, yeah,
that?
Oh, definitely. There's this...
So I would think you could just add in one or two questions.
But you can't. There's this thing called the continuum of care, which is a little bit hard to explain. It's basically, in order to get these fundings, you have to have this continuum of care, which is basically a group that encompasses all of the folks who... help people doing various things, faith-based organizations.
Just everybody out in that arena.
Everybody in the room. And there are a lot, you know, the point is that you try to not have overlap, which, you know, quite frankly, I'm not totally convinced that there's not overlap. But in order, I sat through the questions a couple years ago when they were developing them, and they don't let you ask certain questions, and it's hard to explain. I don't know what they're exactly trying to get at, but there are things that we could be asking that would be more helpful for us, and I think that's what we're starting to focus on. It's like really taking a hard look at the people who are here. How can we help them? If getting them to home or someplace they have a job or they need to be, that's another thing we can help that you know, I think we're really going to start focusing on.
One of the things I think a lot of folks in the general community, perhaps not your guys Thursday morning, is it a coffee clatch or is it a donut race?
No, it was neither one.
Okay.
We're not very good hosts. We do bring coffee.
Okay. Why Humboldt County?
Why do people come here?
You know, this segment, because I know that on the street you kind of hear, from the cops you kind of hear, intuitively we kind of know, but... I wouldn't think that the mentally afflicted, or whatever the term is, impacted, impaired, would make the distinction be whether or not services are easier to get in Humboldt County than in another community. It would be, I would think, a different standard of references that they would look for rather than those who are looking for generosity of the community, those down on their luck. I mean, I would see that there would be a different standard on each of them. Is that true?
You know, I just, one, I'll say many of us just came back from the CSAC conference, which you probably heard
a little bit. Yeah, we heard about that one. Yeah.
But the part you didn't hear about is, you know, there was a lot of conversation on homeless issues. The interesting thing, there was a whole workshop on it, but we're all mostly already doing that. But the best part of that workshop was everybody in the audience kind of talking about what they do that's different. And just about, I don't think there's one county who does not think that they're the magnet. So we're all in the room saying, no, we're the magnet. And the other people were saying, no, we're the magnet. So most communities feel to some degree or another that we're all getting more than our fair share of folks who are passing through.
I would think if you took photos, maybe Google Earth could show it. You know, don't they go driving around in one afternoon up and down the highway and show the number of corners that are occupied by somebody standing there with a sign? There's nobody that's going to have a percentage as high as what Eureka has. Slam dunk.
They'll take you on, and even Rex, next time you talk to him, he's talked to even more folks when he was gone to the rural, the RCRC too. So, but what I was going to say is, you know, we all have our reasons for thinking why they're coming here. Us, part of it's the temperate weather. You know, you mentioned about benefits, and I thought it was really interesting. I was talking to someone who has been involved in going out in the homeless camps for years, who's now with EPD that used to be with, you know, Health and Human Services, and
she doesn't drive a blue truck.
No, no. But this person would, people would come to town and have her card in their hand, And she'd say, how did you get my name? People were referring who went somewhere else and said, oh, you know, go here. And she says, what they found out is that it wasn't what they thought. It wasn't as easy as they thought. You know, they were sold a false bill of goods.
KINS, News and Information Times, 3:30.
Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast. This is Jim Ritter with Humboldt Live in the Arcata High School Career and College Center. Do you have life and work experiences that could be of benefit to our local youth? We're recruiting community members to mentor and share ideas with our middle and high school students. Please call me at 839-5114 for more information. The Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Virginia Bass. Virginia, one of the things I know has been a significant area of frustration for EPD, for the fire guys, for a lot of folks that are trying to not necessarily deal with the solution, but to deal with the impacts of so many of the homeless camps, for whatever the reason that they're here, is to be able to limb up the trees like Arnie Millsap was able to do as a police chief at Salvation Army,
Silvercrest,
because of all the problems there, that isn't able to be done so far in a bunch of other places, whether it's Gary Eagles with the schools right across the street, whether it's behind the mall, or maybe
the peninsula.
I'm thinking community forest also.
I'm thinking the peninsula is a big thing. The coastal areas.
Yeah, all those types of areas that everybody seems to say that if it's open and airy and clean at the bottom, that those are not areas that people will tend to congregate in.
Well, they're less likely to because it's not a comfortable, safe, hidden location. I'll go back to the county's meeting that we were at the Coastal Counties Group. I wanted to bring this up as a discussion item, and Rex was there with me, and we had to throw it in kind of at the end of the meeting, because I don't think we're the only county that has this issue with the coastal areas in specific. And the head of the Coastal Commission was there, Dr. Lester, and a couple of coastal commissioners who are also county supervisors. And at first it was very frustrating because Dr. Lester's point was, well, you know, we're not in the job of safety, because we were talking about the fire department and all the issues. And finally we said, it's not necessarily about safety. It's about, if you're about the degradation of the environment, what people are causing out there living and the things that they're doing is more damaging than allowing, you know, trees to be limbed up.
Well, how much does the county pay on the South Spit?
Part of that too, because I did check into that. That wasn't, I mean, even though it's coastal, there was a different type of terrain. They spent a lot, and there's, you know, you'd seem think there'd be some precedence.
Time spent on site is probably about the same, huh?
Yeah, but you know, he just didn't see that, and it was really frustrating for me. And you know, Rex is very plain. You know, we do the good cop bad cop kind of thing every once in a while, and I'm, you know, I'll bring something up and one manner, and Rex will come in and do the, you know, bam. And but after the meeting, one of the coastal commissioners came up to me and she goes, I'd like to come up and tour the area. You know, I'm interested to see if there's something I can do to help. And to me, that was like, oh my gosh, someone actually is, at least they may not be able to solve it, but they're interested. So when we got back, we have sent, you know, pictures that the fire department have, the city of Eureka took, the sheriff's department, of all these areas, to show the devastation and what's happening. And sent it to the two of the coastal commissioners that are supervisors. Unfortunately, as far as our follow-up, we have not been able to speak to either one of them. One did respond that he got the emails, so it's basically a point of follow-up. But the fact that she actually came up, San Mateo Supervisor Carol Groom is her name, she actually offered to come up and take a tour. And to me, that shows that there's hope. And the other one is Greg Cox, who's from San Diego, who's actually, he's very new on the commission, but he seems to, he's a basically business-focused, fairly conservative, little San Diego, has had the issues.
Might know Andy.
That's actually what I was thinking, too. So, you know, I'd like to think that, part of it may just be that they can help pave the way for us to work with the local commission members.
Now, the commissioner staff. Who is in Crescent City for our district.
Martha.
Does she have to recuse herself because of the encampment behind the shopping center there is inside a coastal commission and that one decision might impact her?
Boy, I don't know. I haven't actually even been able to have a conversation with her because I've not been in the same place with her. But I wouldn't think so. To me, it's such a general, it should encompass just about every one of the coastal commissioners' jurisdiction. Maybe there's a couple coastal areas that are very highly
San Francisco
developed.
Probably doesn't have that.
And San Francisco's not even in that, covered by the Coastal Commission. I mean...
Oh, really?
Yeah,
they're not?
There's some carve-out. It just...
Oh,
don't
really?
Ask me how this whole thing falls together. But, you've got... Or you can go down Laguna Niguel. There's places that are very highly developed with very high-end,
people who are engaged in protecting property.
Yeah, they used to get to develop, in other coastal areas.
That is a concept, isn't it?
Yeah, we are held to the higher standard up here.
Well, I know even in the information I know with Brookings Harbor, even though it's over the state line, they did the same thing and pretty much said no overnight camping, period, end of story, in any of the areas along the water because they were having problems along the beach.
So kind of like what
came
California
over.
Did over, where's that stretch where all the trailers used to be at night? Beautiful.
Oh.
I mean, I used to...
You mean where there used to be commerce at Stone Lagoon?
There you go.
What a... Yeah.
I mean, you could count
Ooh.
The cars through there.
Oh, now that's... BLM's involved around the bay, aren't they?
I think so. They seem to be everywhere.
If it's good for the spit in self-contained units, how could it be permissible if they're leaving their trash and garbage and remnants... on the ground.
Well, there's no way it's permissible. I mean, but do they follow
consistency?
Up on it? Yeah, I know.
Okay. Well, I thought that was
right,
my
though.
Attempt at trying to help out. KINS News Information Time. It's 3:42. We'll be back with more from Virginia Bass.
Hopefully.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions, 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass, 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:45. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Virginia Bass. Virginia, this time of the year, kind of you guys go, I'll say dormant, I won't say quiet.
And there's still a lot of work being done.
Yeah,
we have official meetings.
Yeah, see?
We had our last one last night, yesterday.
See, so I'm semi-sympathetic to you, at least the work schedule.
And then Rex starts.
Sorry, yeah.
His chair.
Yeah, how's that
talk
for?
Talk about being sympathetic.
Something to consider.
We'll talk about that.
Yeah. What are you going to remember of this year? What's going to be the one or two things you go, yeah, that was 13. Is there anything that steps out above the others that you'll think of when you think of this past year?
Unfortunately, yeah, probably. I'll think general plan, and I'll think that was 13. And unfortunately, when you ask me the same question next year, I'm afraid that's going to be what comes up again when I say that was 14. I'm hoping I'm here next
year, yeah,
at this time.
Be,
okay,
yeah, reelected.
Yeah, that's my hope to be here to give me my perspective.
Yeah.
boy, It's been a fun year, actually, having Estelle and Rex on board. Overall, we have a good group, and I think I would look back just at, you know, hard work. There's been a lot of, you know, issues we haven't been able to solve, which is frustrating, but it's not that we're not trying. I have a tremendous amount of respect for this board, and while we get frustrated that we can't solve dilemmas, you know, ask me off the cuff, like, if there's anything else I'd pick out in specific. Let's just say, I think what stands out the most is when Estelle was sick, and I'm so glad she made it back to us.
This kind of stuff you want.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're thinking and really analyzing it, that's not going to give you that impression, that big response. You go, yeah, this was cool because 1, 2, 3.
Yeah. So, I don't know. What did you think about us? No.
Estelle being gone?
No, what did you think about this year as far as...
From the county and the...
From what you've seen, you know,
We talked about the continued expansion of the drug community and the impacts into the area, and a recognition that perhaps there's some pushback. Eureka had theirs. Gabriel's had theirs. I know Arcata's having... I mean, so people saying, okay, enough. Okay,
right.
that to me is one of them that's kind of cool. Certainly an awful lot of uncertainty about the cost and the implementation of Obamacare. That's
huge
everywhere.
One. That's crazy.
Whether it's the county or individuals, I mean, those things. The community forest, I think, is a big concern. Andy Mills being hired, I think, is going to be... And Hansel Jaeger. The new crew.
I think good team.
Yeah. So I think there's a number of those types of things that people will be reflecting on in a couple of years, and to see if was 13 the year of turn.
I think that's a good way to look at it. Not so much that things were, you know, what were the huge accomplishments, but what things may have been started. When I look back over the last 3 years and get frustrated because I think things aren't moving fast enough, what I started to recognize is, you know, like when Ryan and I came on board, there were a lot of things that needed fixing. And it takes time to fix, and then you can start moving forward. And I think that's a lot of what this year has been, is taking those first steps. It just took some time to, you know, resituate ourselves so that we could move forward.
You can etch a sketch, so to speak.
Can I just shake it and erase the things I don't like?
Yeah.
Actually, you can't do that. You never could. That's what always...
I know,
it
always
had
those lingering little things. Yeah.
Well, and it'd erase everything. You couldn't just erase what you wanted.
Right. No, I think that's
whiteout.
I think that's where computer programs started coming in, with those paintbrush things, and you can kind of smush around a little.
I'm still trying to master that. But.
Yeah, I'm still working on Etch-a-Sketch. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks, have a good rest of your year.
Yes, Merry Christmas.
You too. I'll see you in the neighborhood. I'll honk when I go by.
Yeah, I was going to call you Mrs. Claus, but no.
Well, just, you know, remind you, my birthday is coming up. It's on Christmas.
Okay.
So you can wish me happy birthday, but I'm still not as old as you.
Throw something down the chimney for Virginia. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you'll see tomorrow.